Guy in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here to take us to Boca Chica, where we're waiting for Super Heavy and Starship for the next test. And, Bob, a very good evening to you. You report that Boca Chica is prepping. What is the status? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. There appears there was a great update on NASA spaceflight.com, and so I linked to it and summarized what's happening. Technically, SpaceX, as expected, is moving fast and making a lot of progress getting the launch pad and the rocket ready for the next orbital test flight of Super Heavy Starship. They've now requested, you know, closure zones for doing static fire tests of Super Heavy on the launch pad to test not only the rocket, but the new water deluge system they've designed to reduce the shockwave from the engines themselves so that the launch pad won't get damaged. They want to test it with a static fire test. So that's getting ready to go, and they're going to do that, I'm sure, in the next week or so. That's what they're planning. They also are preparing additional prototypes of Super Heavy and Starship for later tests. And they're also continuing their upgrade of the assembly facilities there. A lot of those facilities were in temporary tents for years, and they're replacing them with real buildings. None of this really matters, you know. Well, it matters. SpaceX is showing once again it can do the job right. But it doesn't really matter because there's no word from the FAA about a launch permit. And the only word we've had from the FAA is basically telling everybody they're not going to launch until we decide they're going to launch, and we're not ready to give that decision. And so I'm fully expecting, as I predicted now for months, that this is not happening in August when SpaceX looks like it'll be ready. It will probably not happen in September, maybe not in October. In fact, I personally think it's not going to happen this year. I think it's going to be blocked for the year. But we'll have to wait and see. But that's my prediction.
What is Axiom?
Axiom is a private company. It's trying to build a space station. It's going to start out adding modules to ISS, but over time those modules will become an independent station separate from ISS when ISS is retired. But Axiom has also flown already two private commercial missions to ISS using SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket and Dragon capsules. They are basically making money right now flying people up into space on short missions to ISS. So they've now gotten signed an agreement with NASA to do a fourth mission. They already have an agreement to do a third mission coming up, but they've now signed a contract with NASA to do a fourth private mission to ISS, tentatively scheduled no earlier than August of next year, a year from now, essentially. This deal, they already have a contract with SpaceX to launch the capsule and rocket for this mission, but this is a deal with NASA to contract for essentially the hotel space on ISS. This means they pay for the NASA will provide supplies and cargo delivery, storage, and in exchange, they'll also demand that the tourists that Axiom launches do science that NASA wants them to do, basically the indentured servants of NASA. But it's an agreement to use the facilities, and so we're going to have a fourth commercial flight to ISS, John.
Cygnus freighter on an Antares rocket. Significant is the rocket. Why, Bob?
The rocket, the Northrop Grumman's Antares rocket that launches Cygnus depends and has depended on Russian engines in the first stage and a first stage that is built by a Ukrainian company. The Ukrainian war kind of ended that capability. They can't get the rocket engines from Russia anymore, and the Ukrainian company doesn't have the ability right now to provide them the first stage. So this launch of Cygnus earlier this week to ISS was the last time the Antares rocket can launch under its present configuration and have no more engines or first stages. However, they have contracted with Firefly to replace that first stage with a new first stage using Firefly engines, but that's not going to be ready for some time. And so in the interim, they have also contracted with SpaceX to launch Cygnus on a Falcon 9 rocket to do it three different times. Which makes the Cygnus capsule kind of interesting because as a freighter, it is launched on Antares. It is launched on an Atlas V rocket when there was a problem with Antares for a period of time. And now it's going to launch Falcon 9 rocket. And I should point out, I didn't mention this in my list with you, John, but they're upgrading Cygnus to make it a larger payload capacity and make it so that it can dock directly to the to a station instead of having to be berthed with a robot arm. And they're also going to be highlighting its capability, engine capability, to raise the orbit of ISS on this particular Cygnus. What Northrop Grumman is doing is it is making Cygnus the go-to freighter for these future private commercial space stations, because you need to have your station get cargo, and you're going to need your station to have its orbit raised. And here, Cygnus will be able to do it with a docking port that will allow it to dock without a robot arm. And so this is good business now. And so we'll have Antares rocket come back. But in the meantime, Cygnus is going to become more valuable with the new space station.
We go to Scotland, an exclusion zone for a new spaceport. Significant to me, Bob, is that this is moving forward, whereas in Cornwall, it didn't. Are these different animals, and that explains why?
No. I think, actually, John, your enthusiasm is just optimism. I'm not so optimistic. What's going on here is that in Sutherland, they're going to launch vertical rockets. And so when you do such a thing, there's always a exclusion zone around the launch area during the launch. You don't want, for example, if it's near the coast, you don't want ships going into the zone right below where the rocket will fly. And so they have now proposed a 50 square kilometer exclusion zone during launches that would shrink to less than 2 kilometers between launches. And it includes a lot of land in neighboring territory there. And so this is now going through a 12-week public comment period. And I'm certain there's going to be some opposition to this. I actually see once again that the UK is going to have – there are going to be slow difficulties getting their spaceports operating, John, because they haven't yet solved the problems that destroyed Virgin Orbit at Cornwall. And they still have these kind of regulatory issues to work through in this new spaceport and the other spaceport in Scotland as well. So they might get them solved, but I think that it's going to be a slow process before we see launches out of the UK.
Voyager Space, what is that, Bob?
This is another space station that maybe Northrop Grumman's Cygnus capsule can supply. Voyager Space is one of the three companies that NASA contracted to build space station to at least to get some customer money from NASA. It is a consortium, a bunch of different companies. It's led by a company called NanoRacks, which has been putting up private commercial payloads on ISS for many, many years, experimental payloads. But Voyager Space is their subsidiary specifically for the space station. It had Lockheed Martin and other companies as partners. It has now signed a deal with Airbus in Europe to essentially replace Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin had been the company that was going to build the inflatable modules for this space station. Instead, they're going to have Airbus build rigid modules for their space station. Lockheed Martin's still involved, but not as a major player as much anymore. The reason for this partnership, is significant is that Voyager Space is tying itself to a major European aerospace company, Airbus, which means they are trying to put their foot in the door to get European business, government as well as commercial, on their to-be-built space station. Everyone's vying for customers, right? Not just simply the government and NASA, but commercial as well. And these space stations all want that business. And so signing with Airbus means it's going to be more likely Europe is going to be linking itself to Voyager Space's Starlab space station. And what I like about this is it's private enterprise and competition and freedom producing it. And without even trying, Europe is going to get a space station of its own, and it'll do it by hiring a private consortium of American and European countries.
Puzzle, Bob.
I really like that.
Commercial space station. What does that mean? Does that mean a hotel? Does that mean a resort? Does that mean club orbit? Or does that mean science gets first and moving factor? NASA, ESA come in with teams who used to be Air Force pilots. What is a commercial space station in the future?
Well, actually, John, it means all those things, yes, because the private companies own the stations, which means their goal is to make money from the stations.
Right.
And any way they can make money is good. And so some of the stations are going to focus on tourism as well as providing NASA space for science. Some will provide, any one of the things you mentioned. I will point out that Voyager Space has made it clear they want to focus their station on science and research and government operations. They want to focus that way. And signing with Airbus means they likely will, because that's what Europe wants to do as well. So it's everything, John. That's what the competition and private ownership means. You get everything. It's not limited to what the government wants, what NASA wants. It's whatever anyone who has the money to buy the space wants. And that includes the government as well.
European Space Agency gets applauded from Bob Zimmerman. Success. What did they do, Bob?
Well, they made a big to-do about something that isn't such a big to-do, so I'm not completely applauding them, John. But the European Space Agency decided it had a weather wind instrument in orbit that was running out of fuel, and it was going to come back to Earth uncontrolled originally, and it was big enough it might hit the ground. So they decided, let's use the remaining bit of fuel to control its reentry. Let's test technology for the purposes of making sure you don't have uncontrolled reentries. And so they did this. They successfully completed a controlled reentry over the ocean, over Antarctica, so it burned up without damaging anything, you know, or being a risk to anybody. They made a big to-do, like this is the first time this is ever done, and that's absolutely absurd. It's been done many, many times before. But they actually made a conscious effort to do it, and that's a good thing, because it shows this is the way all satellites are moving. And they've been this way before, but you'll have fewer and fewer problems, because there's now a real push to make this required. Whether the real bad guy in this, China, ever pays attention is an entirely different story, John. But that's where the trend is going. Let's control our satellites so they won't crash onto the Earth.
A new company, a startup called Planet, has plans to move from San Francisco, perhaps because of cost, perhaps because of the environment, but it might be also related to a drop in their stock price. What is Planet, Bob?
Planet is a small sat company that has put up 200 small satellites. It has that's the size of its constellation. That takes pictures of the Earth. This is kind of like the high-resolution images used by the military in the Ukraine war. There's private companies that have these constellations and provide this data to both commercial and government sources. So they are a startup in that they're relatively new, but they are established. Apparently, they had some waste and bloat in their main headquarters. So they announced this week that they're laying off 10% of their workforce, most of whom were located in San Francisco at their headquarters. And though they made a lot of noise about they're basically focusing their effort on what they need to do, that it was out of their headquarters in San Francisco makes me wonder if, yes, they're considering the idea of moving out of California, because it's not a really friendly place for new companies anymore. We'll have to see, but either way, they basically streamlined the company. They're not going anywhere, I'm sure of this. But in fact, if anything, this is going to probably raise their stock price again, John, because they tightened their belt.
All right. The Senate speaks and NASA and Commerce get a new mission. What is the mission?
This is part of the political infighting going on about who's going to regulate satellites having to do with space junk, as well as space junk that's already up there. The FCC has been trying to do a power grab without statutory authority. Congress has not been happy with that, and they've taken some weak effort to stop it. A Senate Commerce Committee has now okayed a bill that would require NASA to develop several space junk removal projects while also giving the Commerce Department the responsibility for identifying where the space junk is and what needs to be removed. Essentially, the Senate committee is saying that these two agencies, not the FCC, should be doing this kind of work. Once again, it's a bill that has only been okayed by a committee. It has to go through negotiations.
Right.
The House itself has already made it clear it doesn't want the FCC to do this either. So we're looking at probably other agencies getting the job, which still means the government is regulating private enterprise, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going looking for Voyager 2. When last we watched the episodes of Voyager 2, we'd lost track. But Bob Zimmerman, I'm John Beck.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.